Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Brr. Oh, it's so cold. I wish I could get warm. Well, now you can chill because we can beat the chill. With Toasties, backpacking clothes, shoes, and gear made of insulated organic tree bark ash. Check it out at Hey, everybody, backpacking and blisters family. This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who's so flexible he can pick his own teeth with his big toe hangnail, Carl Mandrioli. That's disgusting, but that's his life.
Welcome to the Backpacking Blisters Podcast, everybody. With me today is Derek Somerville. He's a man who thinks that when one canoe intentionally slams into another, it's just an example of road rage.
I thought you were going to say it's another example of tippy canoe.
Mine is better.
I think mine is
better. Don't even try.
And you know it.
Don't even try.
And I'll just start writing your jokes because it'll make them.
Okay. You know. Brooke is back. She's back, baby.
The legend herself
has
returned.
She's returned. I think she was the number one seed for last year's most popular guest that we had on the show. So we had to bring her back. I always enjoy talking to her. I end up talking to her before and after. She's just a great person to talk to, man.
She's a goat. Yeah. She's a legend.
She is.
Backpacking. What a name she's created for herself, too.
Girl in the woods. Yeah, she's doing amazing. Yeah, she's the standard in her neck of the woods, literally and figuratively. So we've got off-grid stories. We've got an Alaskan adventure, canoeing the Yukon with interesting twists and turns.
Sounds
strange
awesome.
Encounters.
Yeah.
We've got weird questions that I always ask.
Big surprise.
Another fake magazine and more. That's what we got in this episode. You ready for all this?
Let's dive in. Let's go.
First, you always want to jump the gun, my friend. We got to do the Bible verse, man.
Exodus
22:21. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
Mm.
Okay, this is going to relate to one of our encounters. Do you have any experiences with strangers when you were in a foreign land that put you a little bit on edge, we'll say?
Ooh. Yes. But I don't know if it's family friendly.
Okay.
But yes, I was in Europe. Yeah, I was in Europe. It was awkward.
All right.
But you said the word you a lot, which made me think, this is Exodus, which made me think, I wonder if Moses ever, you know, when they were crossing the Red Sea, I wonder if he ever turned around and he was like, pulled the staff up and he's like, you shall not pass from, you know, Lord of the Rings, and then slam the thing down and then the river closed. Like, I wonder if that actually happened.
Yeah.
You think? Maybe? What are the chances? Give me a percentage.
Yeah, like but I think that if he's trying to claim glory for himself, then that would not have worked. But if he's giving glory to the Lord, then
what if he was like, "You shall not pass in the name of the Lord"? Staff down.
Then for sure, 100% that works.
Okay, that works.
It might work now. Like if one of us tries that,
I need to go find a big stick then.
Okay,
and try it. All right, let's dive into this bad boy.
All right, let's get into this. We're going to hear about these strange encounters, and there's also a Tolkien reference in this, so that related as well. Here we go, Brooke Whipple. With me today is one of the most famous outdoor women in the world, an off-grid adventure enthusiast who makes you feel like you can build a backcountry mansion yourself, Girl in the Woods, Brooke Whipple. How's it going today?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure, like I was talking to you beforehand, to have you back on the show. We're excited to hear all that you're doing. You're just like an inspiration to so many folks out there. So thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
So I've been kind of going through your videos over the last few weeks or so, and doing some research here. So according to Bathroom Magazine, you are the third best designer of rustic outhouses. Can you care to guess who's ranked above you?
Okay, wait, is that real?
Bathroom Magazine? You don't think Bathroom Magazine's real?
I don't know about that.
Most people just go with it, bro. Okay. You're supposed to
well,
just
Well, I love the Bathroom Magazine. So who's ranked in, ahead of me?
Yeah.
Definitely Kim Kardashian.
What? Because of bathroom redesigns?
She has a big butt. She's
oh, my gosh. That is no, not I what know. I thought you were going to say. Okay.
I have no idea.
This is about bathroom design. So you design, you had like a video on designing like a rustic outhouse, right?
Huh. So who would that be? Because like nobody really does that.
Oh, are you sure about that? I got a couple good ones.
I don't know. Hit me.
Number one seed is the National Forest Service. There's a lot of backcountry outhouses.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You just needed to get me on the right path.
Yeah. That one I thought, I don't know if these are guessable, but then there's another guy. There's a guy named Tom. This is one that maybe might serve as an inspiration to you. Thomas Gammel. He's the one who invented, I don't know how this works, but the two-story outhouse. So that way two people could be theoretically going to the bathroom at the same time on separate stories in an outhouse.
Okay. I'd like to see that.
Okay. Apparently it's been used and it was used in places like, you know.
But why don't they just go side by side with a wall? I don't know. It's an interesting.
I feel like it's one big pit, so to speak, right? It's all going to the same place.
I don't know. Anyway, you have to build stairs.
I'll send you the blueprints. How about
there
that?
You go.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. You'd have to build stairs. Nobody likes that.
That's right. I think it was like attached to that. So I don't think it was like a separate. I don't know. Now house implies it's a separate building. So I don't know how that works. But you're the expert. So I figured I'd throw it your way.
Yeah, no, I don't know. But I'll take number three.
Bathroom Magazine's not real. And about 50% of the people we have on our show figure out my fake magazines are actually fake. So congratulations. You were successful.
I love it.
Okay. All right. So speaking of these projects you've been working on, what's your latest and greatest or what's going on with your off-grid projects lately?
The project I'm in the middle of right now is not an off-grid project and I'm doing it with my daughter and it's a secret still.
Okay.
So,
all right.
No, I'm sorry. And I hate it when people do that to me, okay. But
so you're not gonna
hopefully
tell us.
We'll be revealing that in about a month.
Okay. So you have a month upcoming. All right, so last summer, I know it's been a little bit, but last summer you put out, was it like a 3 or 4 video episode series about this trip you took down the Yukon River?
Yeah.
So for those that haven't seen it, so what's this story about? What's the story of the Yukon River trip?
It's just my best friend and I, we wanted to do about a 200-mile float. So that is the story of us just getting on the river and doing that float. And mm-hmm. We had only a certain amount of days to do it because she had to get back in about 8 days. So we had a timeline to do that 200 miles, and we did end up getting sidetracked because we encountered a pretty bad storm that put us on shore for a couple of days. Then it was like, yeah. So then we had to shorten it to about 120 miles and take out at the next village just to make it back in time. So it's just a story of having a grand wilderness adventure with a dear friend and all the things that go with it, which are just the laughs and the difficulties. You know, big trips are so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the moments that are the hardest that you're like, you know, she was like, I'll never do this again. Like, I'm not finishing this trip with you. Like the second half, like, I'm like, we have to come back and do like finish it. She's like, no. And now enough time has passed.
Exactly.
Like, yes. Because, you know, there's that just that cushion of time you need to remember how great the bad stuff was. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what all great trips are made of, is the hard, because it was just like the Yukon River is so massive.
Mm-hmm.
When you get an upstream wind, you have to paddle so, so hard to move.
Right.
And it's so big. It's so massive. You have to be near shore. And, you know, it can be very intimidating, very scary. That's just the adventure. So you're paddling like 10 hours a day just to try to get to your destination. And you're paddling hard. Mm-hmm. We would hit shore and we'd set up camp and we'd chow down some food. And you'd be like, and then you wake up and it's like pack up and get back in the canoe. So there was very little downtime, except the Lord blessed us with the storm. I think it was a blessing, because that downtime, actually being stranded in the tent with just the wind and the rain and just the chaos, we were just cozy and warm, and we got to sleep and play cards and eat and rest.
So you were sharing a tent, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
With my dog too. So my dog was with us too.
Extra cozy.
And, and so it's good stuff. And of course I filmed the whole thing, it's a whole nother job on top of it. So I, it's a lot of movement, but it's so worth it. You look back and like I said, she's ready to do the second, like finish that trip. So
I hate unfinished things like that. So I would be so motivated to finish that as well. I don't know that I've learned over the years that not everybody's that way, but I think most people are that way. They don't like the unfinished side of things. They want to complete, especially if something gets in their way that's kind of out of their control.
Yeah.
Like the storm. But I don't know, if I were you, I mean, it sounds like she's already committed, but if I had to go back and try to convince her, I would have taken the segment of the video that I think it was the first episode where you showed all the awesome snacks you were bringing. And you could just say, look, we're gonna have more of these snacks.
Again. Oh, I know.
And we're burning the calories on top of that, right?
We're crushing the calories. Like, you just don't realize how hungry you are. We thought we had way too much food. And then you're like, okay, I think this would have worked out. You know, maybe even a little shy at the end. You know how that goes. Yeah, we took way too much stuff, though. Like, we took way too much stuff. And, like, I started out with that little inflatable kayak, and that just, we ended up stowing that. It was so slow. Like, it just wasn't, so that was even in the boat too. Yeah. Like, we stowed that kayak. Like, it was insane. We brought too much stuff. And I wouldn't bring my dog again just for the extra. It's not a hassle, but, you know, it's another thing to worry about. He needed a kennel to fly out. So we had to have like this kennel in the canoe. We kind of made it his nest, but it's just like all this extra stuff. You needed space for him and his dog food. And like, it was kind of an ordeal.
I would want a dog with me though. I think that'd be fun. I hear what you're saying.
It was.
It's a hassle. You're right. Okay. You know, like, I've done a lot of adventure filming, and you're doing two things at once. Like, you're trying to move forward and then you're trying to film at the same time and capture everything. And it's very difficult. Was there anything that we didn't see, anything off camera, interesting encounters you might've had, maybe even people encounters, animal encounters, just anything weird or interesting that just didn't get captured as part of the story from that video series?
I really tried to get everything. There was a couple where actual skiffs would just come blazing by us with no regard to how they were going to swamp us with their weight.
Okay.
Very extremely rude. Like,
why
you would do that to anybody in a small vessel is beyond me. And so obviously, you know, I'm paddling and not filming at that moment unless you have a GoPro going. So there was just a couple of those.
Do you like shake your fist at them, or how do you respond to that?
No, because you're just like disappointed. You know, you're disappointed in humanity, I guess, is the thing. Because like, why would you do that? Why would you do that to somebody in the middle of nowhere? And you know, there's people who feel very entitled to their little piece of land in the world, right? Like, this is our area. If we want to show you that it's ours, we'll go by you fast in our skiff and make you suffer. Or, you know that mentality.
You think it was, that's what the purpose was behind that?
Yeah, kind of. Even though we're Alaskans or whatever, like, it's just kind of that end of roader mentality. Like, get out of our area. You don't live here. You know, that kind of attitude. I can't be for sure, but if I had to guess, you know, you're looked at as somebody who doesn't live in that spot. So I really don't know, but it's not cool. You're just like disappointed, you know?
Gotcha.
I was filming one thing and then we saw skiff coming to us. I put my camera down. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what they want. I don't know what this is going to be. I'm definitely not going to be filming when they come approach us. So I didn't film that. It was cordial. It was fine. But you know, when you're just that far out in the middle of nowhere, it's just unsettling to be approached.
Oh, for sure.
You know, by anybody.
Did you feel like mentally and emotionally prepared for that? Like we might get approached by somebody who may or may not want us in this area. Like ahead of time, were you kind of thinking through that ahead of time?
You definitely think through that ahead of time. Yeah, okay. Like as they're coming, you're wondering if they're inebriated. You're wondering if they are armed. Mm-hmm. You're wondering why they're coming to you, if they're checking on you to see if you're okay, mm-hmm. if they're scoping you out in some fashion. You really don't know. I mean, it's the world. It could be anybody in the world. It could be the greatest people. It could be somebody with malintent. You don't know. This is no man's land, so you're on your own. We carry defensive weapons with us, and, you know, we're not afraid to use them. If we had to, like, we didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday, so you kind of just have to be ready for whatever. And be mentally ready, and not in a defensive way, but just in a realistic, like, keep your head on your shoulders way. It's really not a big deal. I hope I'm not making this sound scarier or, like, more than it is. It's just a reality of where you're traveling.
Yeah, just be prepared.
Yeah.
And by defensive weapons, you're not talking, like, swords and maces.
No, but that would be a great okay. idea. Because then you're just unleashing the crazy train.
Well, we've had the opposite happen to us because we had a guy bring a sword on a couple trips just to be ridiculous. And we've had somebody approach us who, anyway, that's another story of another time. So people aren't always afraid of the swords, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I remember driving down kind of an area of Fairbanks, and there was a dude who had two swords, like, you know, kind of so he could do kind of this thing where you grab him and pull him out.
Yeah, like unsheath him at the same time.
Yeah, and yeah. he's walking down the sidewalk and you're just like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to.
What's the scenario where you're going to need to unsheath
what
those?
What is any scenario where you're walking down the sidewalk with the sword, the double swords?
I saw somebody litter, swords are coming out. Yeah, who knows?
Kind of interesting, like the mentality. But
that's funny.
You get all kinds, like you just don't know. But so.
I would even wonder if those are real swords because there's a lot of this like live action role play going around. People are dressing up as characters and they've got these like fake weapons that they track there. I don't know. It's like Dungeons and Dragons, but like live action.
Totally LARPing.
Yep. LARPing. Yeah, exactly. You never know. You never know uh-huh. what people are doing.
Totally LARPing.
Yeah, that's so yep. funny. Okay, so you put out some creative stuff. You have some really good ideas for everything that you put out there. And I love all your adventures, but I'm not afraid to make some suggestions as far as like future videos that you could make. So I got three for you. All right.
Bring it on.
Which of these are you most likely to make is the question. And okay. You're certainly welcome to make all three if they're inspirational, but typically they're not all that inspirational. So we'll find out. Okay. First one, off-grid amphitheater where traveling actors who believe the apocalypse has already happened can perform for a home-cooked meal. Number two, a treehouse mini community where shelters can only be reached by swinging vines or ropes, no ladders.
Okay.
And then number three, a hobbit hole with a perfectly round door.
Okay. I love the treehouses and the hobbit hole.
Okay.
They're both wonderful ideas. Yes, swinging vines to the treehouses, yeah. I'm all about that. Treehouse is in my future at some point. I have the trees like staked out.
Okay. Wait, trees? You said multiple trees. Does that mean multiple houses?
No, it's just going to be like supported by, why can't I do this? Three. It's like three okay. trees like this. So like.
They're supporting one large structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it kind of would have a gangplank. So they kind of are growing off of a drop off. So you would start okay. from the land and then you go across like a gangplank to get to the level. And then once you get in the house, it's like going from level ground over here to like you're on the cliff. So
wait a second. Could you do bungee jumping from that then?
No, it's not like that.
Not that.
It's just a little, okay. little ridge, but you know.
Michigan size ridge.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. So once you build the first one, I guess you can think, okay, I built one. How hard or easy was that? Could I make this into a community?
Right. There's plenty right. of trees there to make it into a community.
Could you actually, I mean, obviously, like, they made versions of hobbit holes in New Zealand. I don't know developed they actually were, but do you feel like you have the capacity to do something like that?
Here's the thing. As soon as you do anything and building and you pull it off, you're like, I can do anything. And, it's like a challenge of what can you do next?
Right.
Definitely, at least that's the way it is for me.
I just gave you three ideas of what you can do next, so there you go.
Totally.
You pick through those.
Totally. Thank you.
You can take notes when you're listening back through this episode if you actually do that.
That's awesome. Yes.
Okay, so speaking of that, I was thinking through this, like your concept of like you love heading off into the wilderness, adventuring. You like the off-grid lifestyle, off-grid this, off-grid that. And so I was running through scenarios of what I know of that community because it's a very vast community. And so I don't know if this question is still appropriate, but I'm curious. I've got a scenario for you, basically. So I'm curious how you'd handle this scenario. It's similar kind of to people approaching you out in the wild, but kind of a reverse situation. So you're out for a hike on public lands and you decide to head off trail. You encounter an off-grid setup that you personally think is very impressive, even by your standards. All right, so public lands, you're far out there, you're off-grid, and you come across the setup. So will you A, approach the settlement and strike up a conversation asking about anything that kind of catches your eye that impresses you? B, approach the settlement and like reprimand them for their illegal use of public lands, or just keep on hiking?
Oh, I'm totally going to investigate. Because
okay. Really?
Yeah, I've built a lot of shelters on public land too. That probably okay. If you came across them, and luckily no one's ever like came upon me while I'm like at the things that I've built. But I mean, they weren't permanent. They were all literally sticks and, you know, stuff like that. Stuff very natural, but they were really nice. Stuff okay. That if I, came upon them, you'd be like, is there someone living here? Or, you know, I would definitely be, I'd probably holler and say, hey, is anybody home? You know, and see what happens.
Okay. So let's say I'm the guy and I got my back to you. And I'm just like hammering away. So I you're in my vicinity now, but I'm not aware. What do you say to like, you know, make sure that I don't freak out at you or that I let my guard down, so to speak?
Yeah, definitely, because no one likes being startled. So yeah. From a distance, like, hey, how you doing? What you doing over there? Like, that's a pretty cool thing, you know, because, you know, your first impressions, you know, if you're like, hey, you're like, the guy's going to get right. defensive. But if you're like, hey, that is yeah. awesome, then your guard's down and he's like, well, okay. But, you know, you got to be careful, you know.
You do.
But I think of myself, like, again, you'd be like, is this person crazy? But I'm like, I'm in the woods doing the same thing. And like, I'm totally right. not crazy. So you're either going to get someone
so there's a chance.
Totally off the rails or totally just being cool in the woods. I don't know. I don't know if there's a middle ground.
Well, your idea about like throwing out a word of encouragement, I think is very wise. I actually was just talking to some kids about this yesterday. I was like, you know, if you are encouraging towards somebody, no matter how they react, they're going to appreciate it. People, like, encouragement never goes out of style, right? You tell them something nice about them, maybe yeah. they're like, suspicious of you. They're like, why would you tell me this? But really, like, inside, they're going to appreciate yeah. any sort of word of encouragement. And so that does, it's not 100%, obviously, but it is going to allow most people to let their guard down, I would guess.
Yeah, because if you're doing something on state land or federal land, you're worried about, like, some kind of official coming and, like, I don't know, you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
So you got to disarm them pretty quickly if you're just trying to be an innocent, you know, observer, mm-hmm. see what's going on. But
have you come across anybody out there that's building maybe more of like a permanent situation that's just trying to live off the land away from society where they're kind of like almost like hermitizing themselves, if that's a word?
No, I've.
Okay.
I never meet anybody in the woods.
Okay.
I never really? Have. Yeah.
Yeah.
On public land. I do not go on trails, you know, so I find my spots that I like. And then I just slowly, slowly get to know the area. You know, I do it like a bullseye, right? Yeah. I walk into this area and I start here. And then I just start to make that bullseye bigger. And pretty soon I know the land. And then I know
how it lays and what's there. And that's how I kind of get to know an area I'm not familiar with. Over time, going in and out, seeing it from different directions, seeing it in different seasons, I've never run into a darn person. Now, I see like tree stands left behind. I see stuff, you know,
evidence,
I see evidence of people.
Right.
But I have never run into anybody. So I think the off trail, you know, kind of wanderers are not very common. I think if you're by a hiking trail or something, maybe the closest 200 yards on either side of a trail, you might find people.
Yeah.
But I don't think people are just going out wandering, which is a shame because wandering is the best thing in the world. Like in your all, you're guaranteed to be alone. You'll get lost, you know, let people know where you're going, of course, and the general area. And I always tell my husband, like, hey, I'm going over to this, you know, my spot. And I took him there one time so he knew where to go and look for me if he had to, because you're not going to describe it. Like, okay, you park here and then you go, you know, he's not going to know where I'm at. It's a big piece of area, you know, big area.
If
so.
You really want to, you can bring the GPS trackers and really that way they can. They can track the dot on the computer if they really want to be aggressive about it, but
yeah, you'd have to have GPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so where this question came from though is I met up with some folks who live near Rocky Mountain National Park, mm-hmm. and they just live in a podunk town up in the mountains. And they say about once a year, there's like a couple different people that come down from the mountains that literally live in the national park illegally. They think they live out of tents. They're just like they're tent living the whole year, and they just periodically come down, get some supplies, or just, you know, go to the bar or something. And they just they basically are hermits up there, and they're living far enough off trail that nobody ever encounters them. I imagine they're probably poaching. Like, we don't know for sure, but I imagine they're doing some probably. Of those types of things. And it's not a community because they're all by themselves, and they're all individuals kind of separately doing this, but they're out there. And so just the thought of like people are like
That's
living. Out here is interesting to me. I'm guessing it's more than 200 yards off trail, obviously, but it's just a crazy thought. So I don't know. That's where that came from.
You know, there was a woman and her sister and the lady's son. They tried to do that. And this was in Colorado last year. This was really recent. And they died. They went in to Silver Springs, I believe.
Okay.
Silver Springs, a dispersed campsite, set up like a Walmart tent. They were determined to live off the land, you know, and do the survival thing. They found all three of them dead of malnutrition and dehydration.
Like close to, like how far away from civilization were they?
They were in a dispersed campsite. Like,
so close enough.
Close enough, but far enough. Yeah. But it was winter time.
Yeah.
So they weren't prepared. They really didn't know what they were doing. Really sad story. Like, it was just on, like, Outside Magazine. I follow them on Instagram. I mean, it was just, like, yesterday. And I had heard the story before. This is, like, within the last 8 months this has happened, I think. So you should look into that. So, yeah, that's a Colorado story right there.
You got me thinking about dispersed campsites. And so the way, I mean, it's different everywhere. But the way they have it here, at least locally, And even farther away is like you'll have these dirt roads that are open, almost like these forest roads that are open from, you know, April through October or something like that, right? And so if you got behind one of those gates and like the weather's still nice, you could get pretty far in there and then get stuck and not be able to get out. So I could see something like that happening.
But they were intent on actually, I mean, they had journals and like they were wanting to live off the land and like go into the forest and do that. Just like what you said, like live in there. So it's kind of wild.
How easy is it to live off the land in winter?
It's not easy to live off the land in general. Add winter and it's just wow.
But that's why the show Alone, that's why they it's like, don't they always schedule it so it's, you know, the tail end of
absolutely
like middle fall into winter, so that way you have diminishing supplies. Yeah, it's intentional.
Absolutely. I found like one huckleberry. I found like two mushrooms because the season's over.
It's done.
Yeah.
Right. Not as much.
They
outside.
Do that on purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
I ran this by somebody, this idea of doing like more of like a summertime survival thing, but where you have to move. Like you're not just staying put and hunkering down. And they actually, I don't know if you saw it, but they made a show kind of similar to that called Race to Survive Alaska. Did you ever watch that show?
Yes, I got totally addicted to that. And I had forgotten all about it. And I think season two is back.
It's coming out, I think, at the end of the summertime. But I think, okay, so you might have an opinion about this, but it looked like they really intended to have it kind of half travel or adventure, half survival, but the people weren't really surviving. Like, they weren't really taking care of themselves. Is that what you got out of that?
And then it turned into, like, us against them kind of a thing, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, like backbiting stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
To me, what is the most fascinating is the psychology of it, because it just messes with you. But
right.
Yeah. I mean, more people is helpful for surviving.
Would you go on that show?
No, I have no reason to go on any shows like that. I have nothing to prove. No, nothing could beat the experience from alone.
Yeah. Not that I wouldn't suggest you have anything to prove. I just thought you might think it's fun.
No. I get that, but it's not fun. It's really hard. It's really hard. And starving is not fun. And I mean, it's really great to see where your edge is and, you know, challenge yourself. But two times, I mean, it's really hard on your body. It's really like going back is like, ugh, you know, it would weigh heavy. Yeah.
All right, we've kind of chatted about this already a little bit, but anything that we've missed as far as upcoming adventures you've got this year, upcoming plans for a YouTube channel that you're allowed to reveal or that you're willing to reveal, or anything that we can look forward to that's coming out or even might even possibly come out, even an idea that you have?
Yeah, well, I'm super excited to head back up to Alaska and build that cabin. So that is, if you're familiar with Dick Prenicky, in the cabin that he built, you know, the very famous, you know, he's basically the first guy that ever filmed himself, you know, doing something like that. I am the age that he was when he built his cabin. So it's kind of like I harvested the logs last summer. Now they're drying, and to actually go try to do this on my own. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, Brooke, thank you so much for taking the time to come on our show. As you continue to put out more and more awesome content and adventures and projects, don't be shy. Send them our way. We'd love to keep pumping them up because we love what you do on our show. And we just feel so blessed that you took the time to be on our show. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It was an honor to be here. And I hope you have an amazing summer as well.
All right, man. So biggest takeaway, what you got?
I mean, I'm proud that she figured out your nonsense about the bathroom magazine. Absurd. Mm. I want to hear, you know, it's so cool that she's able to go. That sounds like a trip I would love to do. I'm sure you would love the whole canoeing in the Yukon and like just getting out there. And that's just so different, right? I mean,
she sold me with like, if you watch her video, she's like loading up on the snacks. I mean, she's got all sorts of just bad for you snacks that I'm sure they're burning through during the day. So the fact that you just kind of throw them into the canoe and just like bring as many as you want. And you're still paddling, but even if you don't paddle, you're still moving. Like, how amazing is that? Right.
It sounds like a glorious trip, and its scenery is probably awesome. Of course, you know,
down the Yukon. Yeah. So you want to do that? You want to actually like plan that?
Plan like a canoe trip?
Yeah. Down the Yukon. Oh,
that might be kind of fun, actually.
Okay. All right.
When did she go? What part of the year did she go? Remind me.
It's like June or July. Probably July.
That sounds
good. It'd be our July trip, basically.
How far did she go? I can't remember what she said.
She made it like 120, I want to say. She had to cut it short because of her. So one of the twists was that she had to, like, you know, they didn't want to canoe through rain all day long. They had to stay at a
crash out of temperatures.
Yeah. So there's that.
That sounds amazing.
So here's a twist. So like, I'm always interested in when people get approached and it's very uncomfortable and they had the locals that were just, you know, messing with their boats and stuff. Were you surprised that locals in Alaska would be that aggressive toward not just tourists, but I mean, they're canoeing down the Yukon, man. They're adventurers.
It is a little surprising. I mean, because I think once you're out there, usually when you're out there or something like that, people just kind of like, I don't know, you expect them to kind of keep to their own, you know, gear and stuff and area. Yeah. Right? Not just kind of invade your space. So that was a little shocking. It was a little shocking.
For sure. So I thought it was interesting. I thought it was cool. If you want to watch her videos here, she's got like a 3-episode series on that on YouTube, which this time of year, people that have, you know, winter hanging on, it's nice to see some summer stuff. So it's kind of makes us feel good about ourselves. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we should do a trip like that. That sounds amazing.
Okay. All right. I'll note that.
Look into it.
Yeah, drop, you know, like the- related to that, we had somebody reach out to us that owns a pack rafting company. We might have him on the show because his name is Thor.
Oh, automatic.
Yeah, automatic. And so, and he's automatic. From Colorado, so I don't know if there's a way we can do that, but I would love to, if we could do some sort of hybrid where we're backpacking near the Yukon, then we have to like raft across and then, or raft down a little ways. How cool would that be?
That's an option too.
Okay.
That's an option too.
All right. So
any kind of like water rafting would be.
I know you're good at the water stuff. So that would, that's a strength.
Canoeing would be so fun. Would be.
Oh,
I want like the big, like, you know, huge wooden canoe,
like a dugout,
like out of a tree.
Yeah.
I did that. Actually, Catalina, they have the little thing you can do with those types of canoes. It was a lot of work, but it was fun. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we should, we'll build that in a trip one day. We'll just be like, all right, we have to cross this lake. There's no trail around. There's a trail somehow on the other side. I don't know what scenario that would work for, but we've got to create a raft or dig out a canoe. Let's do this.
Okay. Well.
All right. Something to think about. Yeah. Okay. So she's also, we talked a little about her properties and her, all of her off-grid contraptions and buildings and this and that. Yeah. And so she talks about strategies like to buy up cheaper properties. And then it sounds like she's just creating like little settlements on each property.
Yeah.
If you had the time, would you ever buy up a cheap property and build a settlement?
Ooh, that could be fun. I think it's all about
location. Are you that guy?
I don't know if I'm going to follow through with that. That's a lot of work probably too. Mm-hmm.
I said, if you have the time, it's not about the time. It's about like, do you want the effort?
Maybe. I think I would have been more likely to do it like 10, 15 years ago.
Okay. Like you feel like you're like, now that you're in your 80s, it's just too much probably.
When you're in your 80s, it's like, you know, you're just starting your life. I don't know. Cause you know, I age like an elf, so I'll be like 300. So I'm not worried about it, but I'm in the prime.
We had somebody comment on one of our YouTube shorts, the pack weigh-in video, and it was like an 80-plus-year-old. I'm paraphrasing, but it was like the comment was cute. Like, why don't you start backpacking? Why don't you carry that pack in your 80s and then come back to me, kind of a thing. I was like, what?
That's amazing.
Like, sorry that we're not. I don't know. It was a fun comment. Yeah, I like that one. So I gave her three scenarios of things she could build, and she chose either the treehouse community or the Hobbit Hole. Any reactions to that conversation?
I mean, the Hobbit Hole just sounds so fun. Mm-hmm. But again, I did used to watch that show. What was it? Treehouse Masters?
Yeah. I think you still watch it.
I would. Is it still on?
I don't know. I think you're rewatching it probably.
Probably not. Good guess. I was like, if you had a bunch of those trees, when I was in Africa, there was a village that we stayed in the trees, like Swiss Family Robinson, and that was awesome. So maybe I'm leaning toward the treehouse.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think the most interesting thing you said there is that you used to watch Treehouse Masters. Sounds like you watched all the episodes if you are convinced that it's not still on.
Are you scared of treehouses? Is that why?
No, but you're heavy set against documentaries and you think they're all fake. So why would you watch that show?
What do you mean I'm heavy set against documentaries?
Because you said they're all fake. You said every documentary is fake.
When did I say that?
On the show.
Dude, you remember that, but you don't remember me saying white backpack. Nice. Real nice.
From last episode. Okay. All right. So, okay, correct me then. You don't think all documentaries are fake?
I think they're...
Or staged or whatever. No.
I think some of the reality TV stuff, I think I said most of that is probably fake and staged.
Oh, I actually agree with you, man. I think a lot of those documentaries are like, there's a lot of stage stuff. We're talking like American Pickers. You're talking about all those building shows.
That stuff I think is staged 100%.
Yeah, because there's people that they're not actors and they're having these fake conversations and they just don't sound real.
I think we're thinking two different things because I did say that in reference to like reality shows, like actual documentaries, like historical documentaries, I find very.
Where it's like just like, you know, you put it on in social studies.
I don't think they're trying to be.
Yeah. I'm talking about documentaries where it's just where they're like chronicling
something. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, happening 100%. Live. I still think that's fake.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So thanks again to Brooke for coming on the show. We've got to honor her figuring out about the bathroom magazine was fake. Shocker, I know. We've got magazine trivia coming up right after this.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal. Develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping, MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
It's time to up your trail game, folks. If you suffer from extreme soreness, exhaustion, or like Carl, impossibly weak shoulders, then reach out to Rowan, our good friend from Summit Strength. He'll help you get fit, strong, and resilient so that you can conquer your next great adventure. Don't rely on the random and unverified nonsense you find online. Rowan uses rock-solid evidence and years of experience to get you trail ready for all circumstances. Uneven terrain, another long climb after a series of long climbs, your discouraging partner telling you that you can't make it. The link to your success is always in our episode description, but you can always check out all the information you need at summitstrength.com/online. Once again, that's summitstrength.com.au/online. It's time to be strong and pain-free for your next adventure.
All right, my friend, three questions. Magazine trivia.
Are you worried?
Yeah, for you. I'm a little worried.
There it is. Yeah, there it is. I'm a little worried. He's nervous, folks. Big surprise.
My wife passed this, though, I think. I ran it by her. All right, number one. What is the median age of somebody who has a magazine subscription these days?
Median age.
Thank
Lord.
Is it A, 42, B, 48, C, 55, or D, 81?
These are like all in the same like genre.
No, they're not. Early middle age, like.
It's like 40s, 50s.
And then 80s.
I'm going to say 55.
48 is correct. 48. So you get that one wrong. 48.
So stupid.
Do you still have a magazine subscription to anything?
Right now? No.
I don't either. Lame. The only one I have, I don't know if you can count this one, is Backpacking Magazine. So,
well, a few more years, you'll be getting one. So
yeah, for sure. Okay.
Next year.
All right. These are all multiple choice, by the way. Number two. Around what percentage of our guests have figured out that Backpacking Magazine is not only fake, but is providing fake rankings that involve them? Is it
0%?
Have figured it out? No, it's higher than zero. It's A, 40%, B, 90%, C, 10%.
Here's the thing. Like, during the episode, I feel like I've been there. Like, a lot of them don't figure it out. But I remember a couple. I'm gonna say 10%.
No, it's like 40% figured out.
40%?
Like,
really?
Is that a real magazine? I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay, I failed trivia.
Okay, so what's ridiculous is that what's funny about it is people that are in on the joke and the guests aren't always in on the joke. And we had this conversation before our Dixie interview about like there might be some things that come up where everybody's being on the joke, but maybe not her. And you're like, oh yeah, that's fine. And then out the gate, we go Backpacking Magazine, and then you explain it to her. And I was like, we just talked about not doing that, and then you felt so uncomfortable with the question that you had to explain it to her.
Because, she's like this like super popular person, and you keep going. And I'm like, dude, she doesn't get it.
It's part of the fun.
It's not mean-spirited. I know. I just felt bad you made her look dumb.
I did not make her look dumb because you explained it and I actually edited that part out of you explaining it because that was awkward. That part was awkward.
All right. Well, you know what, Dixie? You're welcome, but I'm sorry.
I'm going to guarantee you get number three right. Guarantee.
I know. I'm going to try to bomb it.
All of these are real magazines except one. Which one?
Here we go.
So one of these I made up. All right. I had a lot of fun researching this question.
I hate these questions. No,
you do so well at these. What are you talking about?
I'm not on my game today. This
You're
going to
get this one right. A, emu today.
Emu?
Yeah. B, miniature donkey talk. C, elevator world.
Oh my God.
Or D, shoes for hands.
Oh, I can't even breathe.
Which one is? Which one did I make up? Which one's fake?
That means three of these are real?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? No.
So, and there was worse ones that were just like, they had some questionable materials. Like
these are horrible. Okay, elevator.
Yeah. Elevator world.
That has to be real because it's like
okay,
too legit. Shoes for hands. We had, what was the first one?
Emu today.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's a good Southern or like Wyoming-ish type of magazine. I don't know. Somewhere out there kind of magazine. What was the second one was what?
Miniature donkey talk. like there's miniature donkeys out there. There's a magazine where they talk about
them. So stupid. These all sound horrible. How are you guaranteeing I would get this right? These all are horrible.
Because I think this was obvious, and Jessica got it like in a second. She's like, oh, duh, it's this one.
I mean, I'm leaning towards shoes for hands, but shoes okay. for hands. Is that like a dog thing where you like put?
No, humans.
Okay, shoes for hands.
That is correct. You got it right. I just made that up.
Gosh, that's
if you got horrible. That one wrong, I would have not let you hear the end of that one. Shoes for
Little
hands.
Donkey talk is a real thing?
Miniature donkey talk, yeah.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I got a couple tidbits. All right. Derek, you actually know about these ones. So we've been posting some shorts on Instagram and on YouTube, and some of them are doing pretty well. We try to time with our episodes, but can you give us a couple that are out there? You don't have to just, like what are they about? What's a couple that we got out there going on?
Okay. Well, on the shorts, we got the one where Carl's telling everybody he has to go to the bathroom.
Okay. No, I'm not telling everybody. I'm telling you.
You're telling me where you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, so you don't follow me.
Go check out the short. My daughter thought they were. She just scrolled through all of them. She loved them. That was a funny one. And then we had the one. What were we just talking about? We were just talking about this one off the air where.
A gummy bear. Gummy bear prank.
The gummy bear. That was it. Yeah, the gummy bear. And my daughter's initial reaction was like, that's disgusting. So we had Carl got two big fat gummy bears stuck in his backpack. And then.
We got a few pranks that we've been talking about. We got a pack weigh-in that somehow took off on YouTube. I don't know why that was so popular, but it showed some, I don't know, showed Derek's lightweight pack versus like Rocky and Justin Outdoors heavy packs from last summer.
Right.
And so they're, I don't know, apparently they're interesting. So check them out. We would love you to follow or subscribe to us. We would be honored. If you're looking for some fun, inspirational, lighthearted, positive content, there's nothing negative about it. We're not making fun of anybody. We're not claiming to be great or whatever other issues people have on social media. And then next week we've got a pranks episode coming up. So you actually, you know, get a chance to like know what we're talking about.
I'm ready for that. Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Last one I got for tidbits is one of the comments from YouTube is by a guy named Luke from an episode we had a couple weeks ago about trip planning strategies. Remember that episode?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you his comment and tell me if you like this idea. Think it's great. Should we have included it in the episode? Don't like it. What's your reaction? Okay.
Okay. Let's see.
Here's what he said. One of my newer favorite strategies for trip planning is to join Facebook pages of the specific trail. I get so much info and specifics that I'd otherwise have to run around to find. People have sent me previous trip routes and permit details, even links to all the info you need. I also get some good insider scoops on smaller trails.
Should we put that in the episode? I've talked to multiple people traveling by themselves, and I'm like, how did what was your whole, angle of getting here and like meeting people and all and feeling safe? Facebook. All of them said Facebook. So I don't know. So maybe we should have. But I have a feeling you're going to say no.
No. I liked it a lot. I thought that this was a really good suggestion, and I might start using this tip. So thank you, Luke.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, actually. So
yeah,
it's a good one.
That's all I got, my friend.
That's all I got, guys. Thank you so much. Check out all the social media handles. Thank you for the new Patreon subscribers. We will see you next time. If there's a magazine that you can't read, Carl's probably going to make it up and stick it in your mailbox for you. We'll see you next time. I want to fly. was a magazine he got. I got a letter in the mail saying he got subscriber of the decade for this magazine. He had not only subscribed for it once, he subscribed for it three times. So he's getting three of each episode in the mail weekly. And it's the magazine, I'm sure you guys have heard of it. It's called Bald Boys and Patchy Beards.
Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow. Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.